WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump signed an executive order to create a federal task force and deploy troops to Memphis. The president says he wants to curb crime in the city like he did in Washington, D.C.
The effort will include the National Guard as well as the FBI, ATF, DEA, ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, and the U.S. Marshals.
President Trump also vowing to send National Guard troops to Chicago next. The president says he will attend the funeral of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Phoenix on Sunday. It follows the fatal shooting of Kirk at Utah Valley University during an event. Investigators say suspect Tyler Robinson will be formally charged tomorrow, and investigators say they've collected evidence showing the suspect was studying maps of the university campus before the shooting. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent signaling the U.S. and China have reached a framework deal to switch to a U.S.-controlled ownership of TikTok. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be holding free open houses at fish spawning facilities and fish hatcheries over the next few weeks. According to a press release, the free open houses are meant to give residents a chance to learn how the facilities help sustain the state's fish population up close. The first open house will be held at the Governor Tommy G. Thompson Fish Hatchery in Spooner on September 27th at 10 a.m. Additional details on the events are available on the Department of Natural Resources website. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is sharing online safety tips with families as kids head back to school. Parents should remember to be cautious about what information they share about their family on social media sites, especially during back-to-school season, and to speak with their children about the dangers of entering personal information details into alleged contests or giveaways. Better Business Bureau officials are also advising parents to consider monitoring app downloads or using parental controls to help keep their kids safe online. Workers at the University of Minnesota Duluth have ended their strike after the statewide union reached a tentative deal with the university system. The agreement was approved on Friday and includes a 3.5% pay increase in the first 2 years and a 3% increase in the final year. The two sides have been negotiating the contract since March, and their previous contract ended on June 30th. The strike, which began last Tuesday, involved around 1,400 university workers, including custodial, maintenance, and food service workers. The city of Rice Lake is inviting residents to an informational meeting on planned changes to an intersection near Cedar Mall. The city recently received grant funding through the Highway Safety Improvement Program for upgrades to the intersection along South Access Drive to the north of the mall. Planned Commission officials say the north entrance intersection is poorly designed, causing traffic jams and a crash rate nearly 3 times higher than the state average. The meeting will be held on Tuesday at City Hall from 5 to 7 p.m. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers back at practice today, getting ready to head to Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. Baseball. It turns out that Bob Uecker, before he died, wrote a letter to the team that if the Brewers reached the playoffs, they could open and read it, which they did Saturday night in the clubhouse.
I got a letter today from Uke. Before we toast, I want to read it. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. Told the big guy about you guys. Play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in a group with this uncommon goodness. Enjoy it. Keep it light and believe in each other.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Currently at 75 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a Fox host has to apologize after saying the homeless should be involuntarily executed. We'll talk about that with Todd Alba. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you missed our first hour of programming, not to worry. As soon as this show wraps at 6 p.m., you can find this show and all of my previous shows at civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That was a great discussion because we were talking about this big question, especially in light of some of the extremist invective from the far right, including from our president and vice president, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's unacceptable assassination last week. We've been talking about, as the rhetoric and some of the policies from the right and from the MAGA movement seem to be heating up, how does a Democratic candidate for a statewide office, you know, like the Wisconsin governor, address what's happening in Washington, D.C., and some of this national political discourse and divisiveness, while back here at home in Wisconsin, appeal to Wisconsinites of all political backgrounds, right? Conservatives and liberals, far left progressives, and maybe some folks that voted for Donald Trump in the good faith belief that he would make their economic situation better, who may be a little disillusioned by now. How do we build a big tent to win in 2026, especially here in a state like Wisconsin? Well, I've got one of those candidates with me for the next half hour. I've been very much looking forward to talking with him. I will say to this next guest, his candidacy for governor, I didn't see that one coming. For a million miles away, nobody loves a political surprise more than me. So with all of that as preview, let me be very pleased and humbled to bring to the show Mr. Ryan Stiernad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor, going to be in the Democratic primary. Welcome to the show, Mr. Stiernad. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Maggie.
Okay, so tell us, what in God's name made you decide, like, oh, now is the time I think I should run for governor? You've been a successful beer vendor at what was Miller Park, going back to the county stadium days, what now is our beloved AmFam Field. What made you say, oh, you know, chuck that, I'm going to go run for governor?
Well, currently, I started a political action committee for the beer vendors called Drinks in the Seats, right around the start of the 2017 season. It was springing off the heels of me being a union steward for the beer vendors at the time, and I thought I'd take things a step further by starting the political action committee to fight some upcoming plans the brewers had to expand the concession stands. Now, that sort of got off the ground more with the media than at the legislative level. I had minimal success doing anything with drinks in the seats. We can talk about that later. But it's actually been talked about publicly from 2017 on. People were thinking, well, this person, Ryan Sternad, might be thinking of a political office someday. And I had run for political office one time before. That was in 2000. It was when I was a Republican at that. But looking forward, going back to 2017, I was thinking, well, maybe I can run for something. It would be as a Democrat for the first time since I joined the Democratic Party in 2001. But I live out here in Western Maguanago, and we have a lot of Republicans in here. I do think it's a matter of time, however, where Waukesha County Executive would get more of a moderate or a lefty candidate sometime whenever Paul Farrell gets out of there. However, here's where it kind of hit me, and it's kind of a classic story. I remember back in 2018 when Tony Evers knocked Scott Walker out of there, and I was very happy about that. But it was starting to think that I was sitting at an overnight job, which I'm no longer at. I'm in a different overnight job. But besides that, I was working in a foundry at the time. And I was cleaning some metal in between our going to a foundry and making our pours. And it was I almost fell and hit my head. I did not. But the idea of me running for governor when Tony Evers retires could be not too far of a reach. And I even started to estimate when Tony Evers would probably stick around to. I was thinking 8 years. I knew he'd be 75 at that.
What was it about that fall that made you think you wanted to run for governor?
I really thought, at first I was, how it popped into my head, I was thinking like, wow, that's a big one. But then I really started to do the math and thinking. And because I've gotten some media attention with drinks in the seats already. And that was before the coronavirus pandemic. We'll get to that later, perhaps. But I was thinking, okay, governor, yeah. And I said this, you know, well, Maguanago, where I live, that's in a highly red district. Wisconsin is a swing district, or in this case, a swing state. And I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I should go for it. And another thing, too, and this is important. If I were to be on the state assembly or state senate, I would have a hard time trying to fight my cohorts trying to get some things done in the legislature, because I have to convince a lot of people to get what I want passed. I kind of thought, well, how about an executive position like governor? And I think that would be better for me if I want to get something done for the state of Wisconsin, which I've lived here for 50 years and cared dearly about, that might be the route to go.
That is a remarkable story as to how you came to run for governor in this cycle. When you announced, you talked specifically about your support for organized labor and your opposition to Act 10, as well as right to work. Tell me a little bit about that. I understand you sort of had your own political epiphany tied to your becoming an organized worker some 25 years ago in and around 2000. Tell us a little bit about that and why you are so supportive of organized labor.
Yes, we'll go back to 2000. That was the only other time I ran for political office. And I ran against an incumbent, Jeff Plaley, who had since passed away recently. And I was living in Oak Creek at the time. That was the 21st State Assembly District, had almost all of South Milwaukee, all of Oak Creek, and a few of the Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, South Side wards. And as I was going around, you know, going through the framework of running for state legislature political office, I got to meet with some unions as they were interviewing me for possible endorsements. Now, they chose not to endorse me for one reason or the other. You know, they probably were looking like I was maybe, you know, kind of a token candidate. And I do recall going back there, trying to knock off Jeff Plaley, an incumbent, someone back then. A lot of people were telling me there was really no chance a Republican would even win that South Side district. So no one really gave me a chance back then. Although a side note to that, 3 years later in 2003, Mark Honnell won that as Republican, but things have changed. I don't want to get into that big story. But like I said, I was getting encouraged more and more from union people. You know, maybe I should switch sides after the election and become a Democrat. And they also liked the fact that I was all right on my third season of vending beer in the union, then known as Unite Here, with the union at the represents of beer vendors at Brewer Stadium, incidentally, last year of County Stadium. And so after I lost the election, Christmas came and all that, 2001 came, and I made a decision that, okay, I'll go join the Democratic Party. And I joined the Democratic Party in March of 2001 because I really, and I was welcomed by a lot of established Democrats there, such as the late Senator Rick Grobschmidt and then Senator, prominent Senator Brian Burke.
Well, that is incredible. Did you want to finish, Ryan, just your thought about why you are today opposed to both Act 10 as well as the right to work legislation that was passed just a few years ago?
I thought when we went to right to work 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, 10 years ago. I was actually embarrassed as a Wisconsin resident that we had to go that way. Wisconsin has always been regarded as a union state. It really has. And then that happened. It happened under the administration of Scott Walker and the Republicans. Act 10, I thought, was just, even though I was not a teacher, I thought it was just a slap in the face to the teachers. I was very, very disappointed with then Governor Scott Walker, who goes ahead right away. He'd even mentioned about it in the campaign. He did not have the guts to mention it in the campaign. And he surprises that on everyone. It was kind of a mild week in February of 2011 back then. And he goes and does it. And I was just upset.
I get it. I think like you, Mr. Sternad, so many people were caught off guard because as far as I recall, most of the indications during that campaign from Mr. Walker were that he wasn't going to broach that topic. So it did seem like a complete political sandbag. I want to ask you again a little bit more about some of your platform policies. We're going to share Mr. Sternad's website for his campaign in our show notes today. Ryan, why don't you tell folks what that is so they can find it themselves?
I can be reached at RyanSternadForGovernor.com.
There you've got it. And that is, again, spelled RyanSternad for Governor.com. You wanted to talk about COVID restrictions, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to address this and your position on those. Go ahead, sir.
That was a very hard time, but I took a very rare stance for a Democrat back then. I looked at COVID restrictions as employees being deprived of income opportunities. Yes, I was going against the operations of Governor Evers. I was going against the operations and initiatives of the unions. The unions appeared to be more concerned about health and safety measures. I looked at it like this. I was a vendor. I still am a vendor at the stadium. It was the start of March. We were all the vendors there were looking forward for opening day that year. We even had a couple of our season orientation meetings at the stadium. Everyone at the stadium was looking forward for opening day. And it was at the end of February where coronavirus was starting to go around the world. We had no thought of it. We had no thought about there'd be cancellations. Then all of a sudden, it was really March 11th where everything just hit and we're all running wild. We're canceling everything. Our fate was sealed from working a single game at that baseball season, the 2020 baseball season, before the end of March. And I looked at it like this. I stick up for people's jobs. I stick up for people who want to make money. I upset a lot of fellow Democrats with the stand I took. But losing money is losing money. And I just wish that the officials should have gotten second opinions from Dr. Fauci back then and shouldn't have been that quick to jump into decisions as far as having crowd size limits when then Health Secretary Designee Andrea Palm uttered the statement, we're limiting crowd sizes of 250 people. I was like, well, there goes opening day.
Hang on, folks. We're going to come back with Mr. Ryan Sternad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor. He's going to be in the Democratic primary. We're going to continue our discussion about COVID response. We'll get to his support for the boys and ladies in blue, our police. We'll talk abortion and maybe even the environment. So don't go anywhere. All that and more coming up next with one of your Democratic primary candidates for governor right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North.
Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, The Buzz of the North.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Super excited this half hour to be joined by Democratic primary candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026, Ryan Sternad. He's been telling us a bit about his view on the COVID-19 lockdowns back from, oh my goodness, now, so many years ago, it seems like a blur. 2020, just 5 years ago, hard to believe. And so, Ryan, I understand and certainly agree with the concern over people losing their livelihood, right? Like, those are the two values that we're concerned about, both public health and people's ability to earn a living. At what point, if COVID wasn't the sort of global pandemic that in your administration you would be comfortable shutting down public offices or issuing stay-at-home orders for, is there any type of public health emergency that you think would rise to the level requiring that sort of government intervention? Is there something like that, or is it simply not something that you would ever consider?
I would have to look at the seriousness of the situation. Yes, I mean, like what happened back in Milwaukee last month, we had floods, you know, and a lot of the elected officials did a very good job and were successful on getting President Donald Trump to finally give us some of the federal assistance funding on that. So I will look at everything as a case-by-case basis. But to go ahead and to just say, we're not going to have this and we're not going to have that, I would really have to put a lot more care into it before I were to make such a big, drastic, and responsible decision. It was my opinion that I think some of the elected officials jumped to conclusion when the coronavirus came.
And I guess my question, and I want to focus in on this because I think the question of what is public health and how do we best protect it and how do we expect our elected officials to make decisions? If the COVID-19 global pandemic was not a sufficient case to engage in any even short-term government or other shutdowns, whom would you talk to or what data or information would you seek that wasn't available to President Trump and Governor Evers at the time that this occurred in 2000? Specifically, what I'm asking you is this. It was basically at that early March time in 2020, it was the consensus that elected officials were hearing from the credentialed medical immunology and epidemiology specialists that they thought this was an airborne transmissal, that it lived on surfaces, and that it could kill people, and we had yet to have a vaccine developed for it. That was the state of information in March of 2020. I understand you to be saying you still wouldn't shut down businesses or any government functions. And my question to you is, if it's not the experts within our university systems and the epidemiologists and the global health experts that study this, whom exactly would you be talking to or asking about whether or not to engage in that sort of a government intervention, i.e. shutdowns?
Okay, two things here. One, you said about a minute ago about how they thought it was. I would have done a lot more than just talk to one doctor. Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is that's not what happened, sir. What happened was consultation with hundreds, if not thousands, of global medical professionals. And the consensus was at that time to shut these functions down, that they weren't sure how fast this would transmit and how many would die as a result. And so I'm asking you, whom did you base that conclusion on then or now that that was inappropriate based on the information that was being provided to the president and the governor at that time? Whom differently would you suggest that you would talk to? How many experts is sufficient?
I actually think the media was covering some things up on that whole coronavirus.
Okay.
What I've been hearing about all these experts. I mean, really. I mean, to me, when I was sitting at home, and I'll even speak for my parents, they're just two other people. They're retired. They're going out west now. It seemed like Dr. Fauci was practically running the country for 2 or 3 years when the coronavirus has hit. I mean, it made me sick when I had to pray that Dr. Fauci would think before he would say things, because I really thought that a lot of these governors we've had, including Tony Evers, just took whatever Dr. Fauci would go ahead and say. And I was just like, and then there was some other talk about this, and I do not want to sound like a Republican, that there could have been some financial incentives involved with Dr. Fauci.
None of that was ever proven. That was largely just a conspiracy theory. My question to you is, whom do you think Dr. Fauci was speaking with? Do you think that was just his opinion, or do you think he was speaking with every available professional in the field at that time?
You're going to have an opinion. I mean, it all comes down to whatever comes out of Dr. Fauci's mouth. I mean, I'm sorry, but there should have been more people. You're suggesting there were more people involved. I will not dispute that. But it just, like I said, Dr. Fauci, there should have been more people involved. There should have been more people getting second opinions other than what Dr. Fauci had to say. What they were trying to do in China, and we never tried this in America. I put this on my personal Facebook page. They were starting to build new hospitals from scratch and trying to start that way. I'm sure they had some real strict lockdowns, more than America ever had. But we've never tried that. Thought about trying to build more hospitals similar to like a military unit out in the field. So, like I said,
Milwaukee County actually did build an emergency hospital on the state fairgrounds during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Ryan Stiernad, candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026. He'll be on the Democratic primary ticket. Thank you for spending your time with us, Ryan. Folks, stick with us. I'll be right back. We'll talk a little Brewers. the 2-0 Packers, and a few things political on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. State Senator Kelda Royce has officially announced she will join the growing Democratic primary field for governor in the 2026 election. Royce is the fourth Democrat to enter the race after Governor Tony Evers announced he would not seek a third term, joining Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and American Family Field vendor Ryan Sternad. Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and New Berlin businessman Bill Berrien are the only two Republicans to officially enter the race so far. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has launched a new online map tool in an effort to make checking air quality data easier for residents. According to a press release, the new map offers residents a more user-friendly experience with additional features, including a new advisory banner, color-coded counties and towns, and a designated news text box with important air quality updates. Residents can also use the new map tool to receive air quality advisory notices from the Department of Natural Resources sent directly to their email address. The city of Spooner will apply for grant funding through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to treat trees infected by the emerald ash borer. The invasive beetle has spread rapidly across the northwest region over recent years, with experts predicting they could eventually kill 99% of the ash trees in the state. The grant funding will be used to treat 100 trees, replace 30 other trees, and remove 30 more. City officials also plan to share information on treating the invasive beetles with property owners so they can do it themselves. Xcel Energy is launching a new initiative to offer free home energy assessments to income-qualified customers. According to a press release, the new initiative is meant to help those customers improve their home energy efficiency and reduce their energy bills. The home energy assessments will be conducted by trained contractors with special equipment designed to detect areas where the air could be escaping the home or gaps in the insulation. Qualified customers can schedule their free home energy assessment on Xcel Energy's website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small-town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 73.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Matt Nair on Air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can take this program and all of our talk lineup with you everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. You can get it for free wherever you get your favorite apps from. And you can call and text us using the app as well. Just one touch, which is pretty gosh darn convenient. And you will need it, especially because this Friday is our very last Free Ticket Friday Brewers ticket giveaway of the summer. I am so sad to see baseball coming to an end. Yep, you need the app to play. And again, our very last Free Ticket Friday is coming up on this Friday. Tune in and listen to the entire Civic Media lineup throughout the day for the keyword to win in that hour. That word you text in via the app, it will get you entered to win 4 club-level tickets to a Brewers game. As they continue to be the best team in baseball, we here at Civic Media want to give each and every one of you a chance to see them at AmFam Field free and on Civic Media's dime. Like these listeners, Chris from Sun Prairie has taken down a set of tickets. Kimberly from Wauwatosa, Terry in Cross Plains, Jim in Brookfield, Penny in Plainfield, Kevin in Madison, and Doc in Milwaukee. Congratulations to all of those winners. The next winner could be you. So download that Civic Media app. Get it ready to go this Friday. Again, you'll have 5 chances to enter to win those 4 Brewers club level tickets by listening to Civic Media all day Friday. I am super excited myself. Excited for the end of the season. Sad to see it finally here. All of our contesting rules, of course, can be found at civicmedia.us. We got one of my favorite callers in the wait list. Before I get to him, CJ, hang on. I'll put you on the air in just a second. Wanted to finish out the conversation with the candidate, Ryan Stiernad, the candidate for governor. We didn't have time to keep him around, but I just wanted to share a little bit more of his positions. He is pro-choice. He said, as he announced his candidacy, quote, any pregnant mother-to-be or mother who wants an abortion can have an abortion, end quote. On the environment, he said this, we do enough to support the environment anyways and opposes shutting down oil and gas pipelines because that is costing people's jobs. He lifted up a recycling bin and said, go to a store, get yourself one of these, just buy yourself one of these, $15 at your local hardware store, start recycling, boom, you're helping the environment right there. Again, thank you, Mr. Stiernad, for coming on the show to talk about this stuff with us. We really appreciate your time. We have got one of my favorite callers on the line. CJ, how are you doing, my friend? What do you got for us?
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. I had a little temper tantrum the last time we talked, and I want to follow on Charlie Kirk's example. I'm going to have a dialogue with people that I disagree with. I saw him over a year ago about, actually to exactly a year, at the University of Wisconsin campus. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 1,500 to 2,000 people there. And the patience that man has, as people call him names or whatever, I'm kind of used to that myself. But, you know, I think it's absolutely no one side owns. I got a chance to talk to Tom Hartman today. And I pretty much what I said was no party owns the assassination or political violence. But this, a man who was gunned down defending the First Amendment. And one thing, he was a Christian man, which I consider myself a Christian, went to church this weekend, and you would not believe the numbers at those services. And most of them were young kids looking for positive influence and messages. And I had a chance to say that to Tom Hartman, and not to mention, on the Sunday morning, I watch them all, CNN, MSNBC. I watch every news program I can. There was one of his border or on the Turning Point USA board said they've had 37,250 inquiries for new chapters. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Pro-American, pro-Christian values, family values, and to watch this in real time and have people cheer it on. I don't care what your ideology is. I think you know where I stand on that, and I've heard you talk about it. It shouldn't happen. You're in the public eye. We've met. I really enjoy our conversations. You're a beautiful lady. You're smart. You're funny. And I appreciate you giving me the time to honor him, because people that don't know him in a little snippet that says he doesn't believe empathy need to do more research, because they only take a little snippet of that quote. And I challenge you to read that entire quote where he compares empathy to sympathy. So I'm begging you to present both sides on this, because it's shameful. Whether it was the congresswoman that was shot through the door with her husband, disgusting, absolutely disgusting. So again, we're lucky to be Americans. The First Amendment allows you to say whatever you want to say, and me also. We may not see eye to eye. I think we see eye to eye on more things than sometimes we show in a 30-second to 1-minute discussion. But thank you so much, because I said I wasn't going to call you anymore. And then I started to listen to Charlie Kirk, and I watched him. I saw him. I got to ask him a question at the university. They were all out of hats.
CJ, we got to leave it there. Gave you as much time as I could. I agreed with CJ's statement that as Americans, we have a speech right. We have a speech right. But let's not mistake a speech right for acceptance or tolerance. Excuse me, I shouldn't say tolerance, for acceptance of the messages. My defense of Charlie Kirk's right to say vile, hateful things is never going to be dependent on what someone's saying. He has the right to say those things. Again, he's claimed that women, black women's brains don't process as fast. Women are property to their husbands. MLK wasn't a nice guy. The Civil Rights Act was a mistake. That gay pride is a sin. That having gun rights means accepting a certain amount of gun. I mean, he said all these things. He was repeatedly accused of anti-Semitism by the Anti-Defamation League. I'm just going to read this again. This is a quote from Robert Jones Jr. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. Unless you want me to be treated differently under the laws. Unless you choose to strip rights away from me because of my beliefs or who I am. So Charlie Kirk should never have been assassinated. He should be able to say whatever vile, hateful things he wants to say. Ollie from the Northwoods, go ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, I just listened to the gentleman caller, and I can't count how many times he said everyone has the right for freedom of speech, yet the Republicans are going out and saying that if you spoke out, you should be fired. People are being fired for their freedom of speech about saying, merely saying
about Mr. Kirk.
Correct. Yes. Or saying something about him being shot. I don't think that was right. But I also don't think that one-sided freedom of speech is right either.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way to make this square, right? If the response to an assassination is to call for more violence and a civil war and declare that an entire tens and potentially over 100 million people that are citizens of this country are evil and vile, and then to suppress speech on the grave of a man who, at least ostensibly, in its kindest view, stood for free speech. I mean, the first thing I said when I got on the air the day that he was shot and killed, I said he was standing up there debating people who disagreed with him. And again, I think I said on that day, he said some vile and disgusting things. But he stood up there and had the freaking argument. By the way, one of the things that Charlie Kirk said at one point in time was that 12-year-olds should watch the public execution of Trump's governmental opponents, and some of those killings should be by guillotine. Just saying. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Gary from Sussex, hello, friend. How are you? What you got for us?
Well, I'm following one of your favorite guys. recently. So I hope you're in a good mood and you're not going to start tearing my head off, okay? The thing is, I've been listening a lot. I don't call as much as anymore, but the people, what they're saying is that Charlie Kirk says a lot of hate, okay? Now, maybe he does in different people's opinion, and the thing is that there's a lot of stuff that is actually not true. Like, one guy called up on the Todd Aldo show and said that he's against women voting, which is nuts. I mean, that's not
true. He once made a statement that said that basically women should be the property of their husbands. If you're property, you don't get to vote. And yes, Charlie Kirk has said things that were broadly supportive of the abolition of the 19th Amendment. Here's the problem, Gary. Both universes of people live in their own bubbles. And the question is, which bubble is closer to the actual facts on the ground? And my respectful argument to you is, if you hear someone saying that Charlie Kirk said something like that, and you're like, hey, that can't possibly be true because that was offensive, take the 5-10 minutes on the internet and go check it out, because there's tape of him saying all this stuff.
If he
actually said that, Gary, would you think he's not some guy that you should be listening to?
Charlie Kirk, as far as I'm concerned, is a Christian man. And Christian, God tells us that we are to love the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. I do not believe.
But if I played you tape of Charlie Kirk saying all kinds of anti-Semitic things, would that change your opinion of whether or not he is actually a man of God and a Christian and whether you should listen to him? Would it change your mind? Hang on, Gary. We're going to continue this discussion. We got to take a quick breath here. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere and give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is the...
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swinging a bouncer, hit the third, double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one, the first, a double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the buzz of the North.
Swinging a fly ball, right center field. It is up, it is good! Off the top of the wall and out of here!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the buzz of the North.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day. Get in your thoughts and comments, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I was having a civic discourse with my friend Gary from Sussex. We were talking about Charlie Kirk. And Gary, my question to you was, do you ever go and check what people say Charlie Kirk said? Have you ever looked at, for example, some of the accounts of the professors that he targeted on his professor watch list and the death threats and hate mails and job losses and racist, awful messages that have tracked them from place of business to place of business and from home to home? Have you checked that stuff out?
Well, first of all, I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
And I don't follow Charlie Kirk that much. Maybe in the last 5 years I have. Previous to that, no. Ben Shapiro and him would go to all these colleges all the time. And I, you know, didn't really follow it at all. I knew a lot about him. I learned tons about him after he's been killed. And one of the things that I truly believe is people can say things two or three years ago, 6 months ago, and they do have a right to change their mind in what they say. They do make mistakes and apologize.
Yeah, but Charlie Kirk never did that. He never disavowed any of the stuff that I'm quoting to you. He was saying this up until the day I died. And by the way, Gary, I said to friends of mine this weekend, the thing that I think is the worst about this is not just that political violence is the norm. It's the fact that Charlie Kirk was deprived the opportunity to change his mind, to open his heart, to ask forgiveness for the group from the groups of people that he has advocated active oppression of, including women and people of color and the gay community as a whole. I am saddened that he will never have the opportunity to seek forgiveness for that oppressive speech from the God he claimed to love. I mourn that opportunity for him. Assassination takes away from all of us the right to seek forgiveness and to change our minds. That is a true tragedy that Charlie can never change his mind because he never disavowed any of that stuff, Gary.
Well, I understand that in some people's opinion, and I do believe that some of the stuff that he did say was maybe hateful, but it's the way, first of all, I'm a Christian and I know what the Bible says about gay marriage and homosexuality. So if somebody would ask me, what do you think about it? I'd say, well, it's wrong. Now, is that hate speech, Maggie? I wouldn't sit there and drill about it and say, oh, you're going to
if
hell.
We're talking about your religious beliefs, but if those religious beliefs translated into different treatment of persons that worked for you on the job, I would say that that's not a good thing. I think people repeating their religious beliefs as if that has to be the belief for everybody else and the justification for different treatment of persons under the law, that that's an active harm and actually something that Jesus would probably have a problem with. That we shouldn't be defining rights based upon one group's religious beliefs.
Well, okay, but this is his opinion. He said before...
It's his opinion that he's advocating for government policy. He was one of the president's closest advisors. These weren't hypotheticals. These are realities. We see these things happening today. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance name-checking nonprofit organizations that don't politically align with Donald Trump's movement.
Well, Maggie, the thing is, what I look at on this assassination is, and I'm sure you heard this from a lot of people, conservative MAGA people, that they assassinate my future and your future president. He would have been president 2032 or 2036. I really believe it. And to be present.
Well, your belief doesn't make that fact. And whether or not that would have come to pass is a complete hypothetical. Bobby Kennedy was murdered, assassinated. So was MLK, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X. You want to stack up the amount of liberal Democrats that have been assassinated. Like the lists aren't comparable, but the point is we shouldn't be comparing lists in the first place. We shouldn't be comparing degree of hate speech that is acceptable. We should be able to condemn both the assassination and the hate speech that Charlie Kirk profited off of for decades. Can't we do both things? I will defend his right to say all of that stuff and to be provocative and to go onto a campus and have those debates. I will condemn the assassin, who, by the way, was not a Democrat. He was like a 4chan, 8chan trolling griper nihilist who's about as far right wing as you can possibly get. But I'm not going to act like Charlie Kirk wasn't someone who trafficked in bigotry.
Sir, he was a nutcase. He had mental problems. And we all agree. I don't blame the Democrats for what he did. I blame him. He's a nutcase. And he's been kind of brainwashed by Antifa or whoever else he's hanging out with.
Groypers are a far right group. Antifa is a far left group. The groups have completely different ideologies and nothing to do with one another.
Maggie, I like you and I respect you and I like listening to you. And I like how you handle CJ because you let him talk. Nobody else really does that, so I really respect you. I disagree with a lot of things you say, but not everything you say. And you're a good person, and I believe that what you said in the beginning by saying it's sad and it's wrong that he was killed, I would never listen to you again if you'd have went out there and thank you, if you'd have said, thank God he's dead. I would never. Oh,
never in a million days. He's deprived of the opportunity to change his mind and continue to have a discussion. Gary, you'll always have a place on my caller list. Folks, if I didn't get to you, I'm sorry. It's all about these great discussions and real news here at Civic Media. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together peacefully.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspect who turned himself in following the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is expected to be formally charged tomorrow. ABC's News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer says Tyler Robinson could be facing federal hate crime charges.
You can't have a hate crime based on politics, but Charlie Kirk's religion and politics are so intertwined. I could see an argument for this being a motivated based on his religion and the mixture of his politics. The federal government could make a hate crime allowing for murder as well.
Kirk's funeral and memorial are set for Sunday in Phoenix. President Trump says he will attend. The president at the White House signing an executive order to deploy federal resources, including National Guard troops, to Memphis. He says to curb crime like he did in D.C. In San Francisco, a chef was arrested last week for allegedly robbing three banks on the same day. Authorities say 62-year-old Valentino Lucan is facing bank robbery charges for passing notes to bank tellers demanding money. This is ABC News.